The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, Licensed Nutrition Counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Talk Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And as always, for the next hour, a topic of health information that will help you maintain your well-being, your energy, all that good stuff that we associate with health. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. Yesterday we spoke about the fact that in the last 80 years, and we could probably go back further than that, but in the last 80 years, well, let's say 80 years ago, if you looked at the top 10 causes of death, the top three were heart disease, cancer, and let's see, I'll go back to my list here, and stroke. It hasn't changed in 80 years, and despite all the medications and all the treatments. So the point we were trying to make yesterday is, okay, there's got to be something else that needs to be done to improve upon that that's not being done, and what could those be? And we said, well, it's the environment, it's the food, it's stress. And what specifically might it be?
What specifically might it be? Our lack of understanding of the development characteristics, our refusal to recognize that this disease situation doesn't develop in a day, a week, a month, even a year. It takes a very extended period of time to develop those degenerative diseases. And instead of addressing the development process, looks like we're addressing end-stage disease.
Well, that's true. When you use medications, you're exactly right. You're addressing the end stage of the disease. We mentioned the environment, and the environment includes the food, the water, the air, and clearly it's a lot more polluted than it was 80 years ago. But I think there's a few other things we have to take into account that weren't around 80 years ago.
I'm going to enlarge on your statement. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more polluted than it was 80 years ago. I think that the diseases we saw 100 years ago and so on very much had to do with sanitation and pollution, but it was a different type of pollution. It was pollution that you could actually see. You could visualize it. The pollution that we're dealing with today is more insidious, in my opinion, because it is a non-visible chemical. It's a gas. It's a lot of different substances that are not immediately recognizable, let's say, like garbage in a water supply.
And it's cumulative in the environment. They don't dissipate. But I wanted to add a couple other things specifically that might be playing a factor in our inability to change the causes of death. But before we get to that, you know, we mentioned the top three, heart disease, cancer, and stroke.
Dr. Slavin, I want to ask you, where did you get those statistics? Are those reliable statistics?
I made them up.
Just to make a good conversation.
Actually, if, you know, it's not printed out on the pages I have here, but if you were to Google the top 10 causes of death between the years 1900 and 1998, you'll get the government website.
I'm looking at is the National Office of Vital Statistics.
Yeah, these are government statistics. So,
okay.
And I think we have to, you know, you should ask your doctor, hey, doc, with all these treatments, how come heart disease, cancer, and stroke are still the top three killers despite 80 years of, treating people and giving them drugs and doing everything else? What's going on here? We're treating a symptom, but maybe we're treating the wrong thing.
Hey, doc, how come antibiotics don't work anymore?
Well, here's a good analogy, I think. You go to a doctor with a toothache. This will make sense to people, I think. Go to doctor with a toothache. Oh, I got the cure for you. Here, take this pain medicine. You don't have pain anymore. Do you think you still have a dental problem?
Yes, indeed. Very, very clear picture, Dr. Slavin.
I mean, that's exactly what they're doing across the board with every symptom you present to the physician's office with. They give you a cover-up. So the symptom goes away, but the underlying problem didn't go away, and I think that's why we're not seeing a change in the death causes of death, heart disease, cancer, and stroke are being the top three for over 80 years now, despite everything, think about this, despite trillions of dollars being spent on healthcare, it's not making a change, so we have to start thinking a little bit broader as to what could be the issue. Now, another thing they're going to say, well, that may be true, but people are living longer, so they're getting that heart disease, cancer, and stroke at a later age.
Well, that's kind of what Linus Pauling had to say. He was 92, I believe, when he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. He said, well, his vitamin C saved him 20 years. Most of the men were diagnosed prior to the age of 70.
But that's also a fallacy because of the way they calculate life expectancy. The reason we're living longer is because infant mortality statistics have improved.
Well, those statistics, and we actually are having an extended lifespan, and mostly that extended lifespan has to do with enhanced sanitation. So we don't have the infectious diseases that were killing people off at younger ages, but we do have the degenerative diseases, the heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, and so on, that very, very slowly diminish the quality of an individual's health and unfortunately lead to their ultimate demise. But in that time span where the disease is developing, they may be using a lot of chemicals, chemical pharmaceuticals to address, or as you said, Dr. Slavin, cover up the symptoms of that developing disease.
Well, when I say we're not living longer, I've said this before. I like to look at old movies on TV, and you look at the on DirecTV, you can look up the different actors when they were born and when they died, and you see, you go back to movies made in the 1930s. There was a movie on, in fact, it was about Louis Pasteur, who was on TV with Paul Muni. And
many of our listeners will probably know those names, but many of our younger listeners, I'm sure, don't know the name Paul Muni.
But the point is, you look at they were living into their 80s back then. It's not like people didn't live long back then. The question is, are more of us living longer now? But the way they compute the statistic, it's the average of births and deaths. So if you have a lot of infant mortality, that brings down your statistic, your life expectancy number. You have one person dying at birth and another one living to 100. Average life expectancy is 50. But now
fun with numbers.
You improve, you save that infant, and let's say that infant now grows up to be 50 years old, stays at 100. Now your life expectancy is 75. We didn't extend life expectancy, but it looks like we've done a good job. You know, I'm just looking. I had to pull up the obituary page today, and here's someone that died at 39. Here's someone that died at 80, 86. You know, in Florida, we're going to see a lot of older people because they moved down here when they were old to begin with. You know, they retired down here, so they're old to begin with. So naturally, you see older people. The interesting thing is what I find is the older you are, the better your lab work looks. And the reason for that is the ones with the bad lab work didn't make it to that age.
Wow. Ooh, what a statement. Okay. Did you happen to see the report on television, the woman 106 years old visiting the White House? It was a very, very heartwarming kind of video. I cannot imagine making it to 106 years old. The predictions are you think the world is moving fast now. Wait 10 more years and the technology and the flow of information and the enhanced technology is going to be even speedier.
What would you say a good age to live to is?
Well,
I'll answer that if you want.
Okay, good.
It's not a chronological age. You know, it's how productive or how, let's say, how active you can be or functional. Existing, I'm not sure is the way to go. You want to be healthy into your later years. It's, you know, they call it the golden years. I think that was all about marketing because I have patients coming in here. They say the golden years aren't so golden, but they can be because there are patients that are coming in here. I have patients coming in their 90s that are really doing well. And I have to tell you, I think the one attribute they all have in common is how they deal with stress.
And attitude, having a very positive attitude, having an attitude of connecting with other humans, having a sense of humor. Those are all things. And keeping your body active, very, very important.
So we're trying to figure out how come with all the advances in healthcare, with all the medications and surgeries and treatments and diagnostic tools, we haven't changed the causes of death from heart disease, cancer, and stroke. You know, maybe someone could criticize that statement and say, well, yeah, you got to die from something. We're just dying later on. I'm not so sure that's the case because I can give you lots of instances where people are dying in their 50s and 60s. Pay attention to the news. We've had some celebrities dying. They weren't that old. So it has to do with how we take care of ourselves, and the point is taking prescriptions aren't the solution. You have to, you know, there's other things that need to be done. We'll get to that when we come back.
Okay, I want to hear about those other things that need to be done to our listeners. We're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we'll be back after this. At AMT Centers, testing is designed to give you important information before symptoms of disease appear. You get the information needed to evaluate potential disease development. With cutting-edge labs such as Singulex, Innovative, Genova, Doctors Data, and many more, you'll receive definitive evaluations of health issues before problems arise. Learn more at amtcenters.com or call 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about causes of death and how you can avoid them. Dr. Slavin.
Okay, I've been in practice internal medicine for over 30 years, and I've changed the way I approach patients and how I approach their situation by intervening earlier in the course of their illnesses. Why wait for the symptoms to develop? Before you develop high blood pressure or high cholesterol, for example, you develop insulin resistance. Why don't you check for insulin and step in and correct that problem before it progresses a little bit later on? Just one example. The doctors are still practicing the same way. 35 years ago, you gave our medication for high blood pressure. You gave our medication for cholesterol. The only thing that's changed, of course, is different medications. And you know why they change? Not because the old medications didn't work, but they went off patent. So the drug companies couldn't make the money they used to make. So they came up with a variation. They changed the molecular structure, came out with a new drug, and they said, oh, this is a better one now. The old one was not so good. Now take the new one. And you know what the worst category, in my opinion, was when they came out with non-steroidal anti-inflammatories? That was to take the place of narcotics. Narcotics were an excellent approach to controlling pain. However, there wasn't a big money maker. They came out with the non-steroidals associated with lots of side effects, but they could make money on it. And think about how many choices you have, both by prescription and over the counter. Every drug company wanted to get their share of the market.
I have kind of an insidious thought about that, Dr. Mm-hmm. Slavin. Suppose the narcotic pain relievers, they're the real serious pain relievers. Those pain relievers were too strong for the people coming in and they had a little bit of a sinus headache. They had a little bit of a sore throat, a little bit of joint pain, nothing serious, nothing intense. And instead of giving them a very strong pain reliever, the need arose to erase those minimal sensations, those very subtle, uncomfortable situations, joints, head, wherever. And those are the beginning signs of inflammation and ultimately deterioration. And so we take these non-steroidal anti-inflammatories and we cover up the signs of inflammation, but the degradation that is behind that inflammation continues. And kind of keep in mind, I think, that inflammation is your body's talking to you, telling you something's going wrong.
Well, that's true. That's true, and I don't think that's where the narcotics were used primarily. I'll tell you the type of patient in my practice that requires the pain medicine is failed back surgery. They were told they needed back surgery to relieve the pain, which is the wrong indication, by the way. You don't do back surgery to relieve pain because it never works. You do back surgery to decompress a nerve. You don't have nerve compression. You don't do back surgery, because nerve compression is what leads to serious complications if the nerve isn't working, like incontinence, foot drop. But if it's just for pain, because if you do the surgery just for pain, scar tissue will come back after surgery and you have pain again. And this is what we're seeing: patients left with chronic pain after surgery. So they didn't resort to pain medicine. They went for surgery. Now, is someone going to try a second surgery after the first one didn't solve the problem? They shouldn't, and most doctors wouldn't operate the second time because, you know, they know it's not going to work. So there's a group of people that tried all that, and it didn't work for them.
So very appropriate for those stronger narcotic pain-relieving approaches, but for a little bit of aches and pains from overexertion, maybe exposure to a virus or something like that, you don't want to go to that heavy-duty pain reliever, and consequently, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories enter the picture. And, okay, for, you know, 100 years, people were using aspirin to reduce inflammation and relieve that little bit of discomfort. And then everyone was told, okay, well, you're going to start bleeding in your digestive tract with the overuse of aspirin. And so steroidal anti-inflammatories were supposed to kind of fill that gap, that they weren't going to cause the gastrointestinal bleeding. Instead, they're poisoning your liver.
Not just that, Janet. Recent revelations show that they also increase the risk of heart attacks, the non-steroidals.
Okay. And it's very, very interesting. If people will look at the label on their Bayer aspirin, it no longer says to help prevent heart disease. And so all of those people taking the low-dose aspirin, the low-dose aspirin still has the potential to cause irritation and, to a certain extent, bleeding in your digestive tract.
But I'd like to put things into context because they're – you know, patients who require pain medicine are having a very difficult time getting it filled by the pharmacies. This is their war on drugs. The war on drugs is the patient that needs pain medicine, they can't get it at the pharmacy. But far more people are dying from the effects of sugar, from the effect.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and that high-tech glitch that happens occasionally. I don't know if it's extraterrestrials coming to hear about our health situations here on Earth. And, okay, so here's the bottom line. We are being bombarded to, let's say, electronic pollution. So that radiation that we can't see, can't touch, can't necessarily feel when we are standing next to our computers, standing next to our stoves. Actually, years ago, one of the statements was the kitchen is the most radioactive room in the house, all of the appliances giving off a certain amount of radiation. So there's something very, very...
Did the gas stove give off radiation?
No. Okay, just the electronic, appliances. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, everybody knows about the microwave. Okay, you can disrupt things with a pacemaker. You don't want to be in the same room as a microwave. So that's just one tiny instance. Then you walk into a newly built building and the paint is outgassing. The formaldehyde that sets the colors in draperies and upholstery, the different finishes on wood, over and over and over, different things that we cannot see. Then maybe we pick up our lunch at a fast food joint and the French fries that we are just enjoying, they are so, so delicious. Maybe they aren't what we think they are. Maybe they aren't just slivers of a very fresh, wonderful Idaho potato. Maybe they are potatoes that are all mashed together. Maybe there are additional ingredients and then they're shaped to look like French fries. Then they're put in some very, very questionable quality fat and delivered to our plates. So from so many different directions, we are bombarded with damaging substances.
Okay, and, you know, we were interrupted temporarily before, and I'm not sure if you heard a statement I think is important about the use of narcotic pain medication appropriately, despite the fact that everybody makes you think that's a bad approach. It's a very effective approach when used appropriately, but the point I want to make is more people are dying from the consumption or use of sugar, tobacco, and alcohol than are dying from narcotic use, but nobody seems to pay attention to sugar, tobacco, or alcohol. You know when they pay
because
attention?
Because everybody's enjoying that.
Well, okay, but
a little bit.
Well, you know, they make a big, you know, they seem to think, they say, well, narcotics are addictive. That's so bad. You have all these rehab places. Well, how about smoking tobacco or drinking alcohol? To some people, that's addictive too.
Okay, well, we know sugar, the statement has been made, sugar's more addictive than cocaine.
And then sugar is addictive, and more people are dying from the consumption of those items. We have to, you know, stop being, you know, misled.
Naive.
Well, or misled by whoever.
I know that ostriches don't really stick their heads in the ground, but are we literally sticking our heads in the sand by refusing to recognize what is right in front of our eyes?
Now, you know, it's been, so what are we doing? What do we need to do to stay healthier? Because taking the drugs to treat your symptoms hasn't changed the causes of deaths. It's still heart disease, stroke, heart disease, cancer, and stroke in that order for the last 80 years. And, we get to have a second commercial here.
Okay, so take a breath and maybe run and refill your coffee or tea cup or your lemon water. And we will be right back on Natural Doc Radio after these messages.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine brings you the latest in natural health care. Reviewing the published research, attending conferences with health experts from around the world, That allows the healthcare team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill to provide you the quality and experience you're searching for in a healthcare team. Testing to target your individual needs and treating with natural and holistic approaches, the goal is wellness. You can reach the Institute of Advanced Medicine easily on Commercial Boulevard just west of the Florida Turnpike or three blocks east of University Drive in Lauderhill. You can call us 954-748-4991 to learn more. 954-748-4991. Okay. Welcome back to Natural Doc Radio. During the break, I was clued in as to where we're going with this discussion this morning. And I'm so happy this is the bottom line. This is the point of our discussion.
We're having a discussion, are we?
Well.
Anyway, the point we're trying to make is people are taking drugs. I mean, more drugs today than ever before. In fact, I think the United States consumes more drugs than the rest of the world combined, yet we're not living longer than many of the countries. I think I don't remember where we are, between 20th and 40th on the list, and probably closer to 40th as far as life expectancy, despite all the drugs. And I'm just raising the question, we're missing out on something. And we mentioned stress as a factor, but I want to mention the possibility that the biggest changes to our lifestyle in the last 80 years has been the introduction of genetically modified foods, which were introduced about 22 years ago. And how did that evolve? Well, the companies that make those genetically modified foods, they were the ones that made the pesticides and the herbicides that farmers would spray on the fields. But the farmers had to be careful how they used them, because they didn't want to kill the crops they were trying to protect. So then those companies just said, well, look, we're going to make a seed that will be immune from these pesticides, so only the weeds will die. And what a great thing, the farmers thought. And what a great thing the companies thought, because now they control the food supply, because farmers had to buy the seeds from them. They were the only source. So it was a great thing for the companies producing those products. Not so much a great thing for the consumer, because you have more pesticides and herbicides sprayed on these crops than ever before, and that's why there's this movement to at least label foods that have genetically modified ingredients because of those factors. And there was a bill that we even spoke about called the DARC Act. This was a bill to actually prevent the labeling of genetically modified foods on the packaging, and it failed because of the consumer backlash. They want to know if these foods contain those products.
It's back in the news again, Dr. Slavin.
Right, they're trying to push it again because these companies have a lot of money. They buy off a lot of politicians, and they're trying to promote it. But if you have nothing to, if GMOs are so safe. Of course, they don't have any studies to back that statement up, but they just want you to take it on their word that GMOs are perfectly safe. Why are you afraid to let the public know about that?
And the DARC Act, D-A-R-K, stood for Deny Americans the Right to Know.
And the companies, the big companies that do not want their foods labeled, include Monsanto, which is not a food company, they're the ones making it, Coca-Cola, General Mills, Pepsi, Kellogg's, and they're giving the
Kraft, Heinz,
right, and
Hershey's,
pretty much everything, everybody.
all those mainstream processed foods, the processed foods we talk about avoiding to the best of your ability.
So what's happening now is the pro-GMO politicians from both parties. How do you become a pro-politician? You take money from these corporations, pro-GMO.
Significant amount of money in order to maintain your political status.
So they're still trying to come up with a deceptive legislation that will placate the industry and continue to keep consumers in the dark about whether or not their food, the food they're eating, is contaminated with GMOs.
Placate the industry, not placate their constituents. The people who elected them to their office as the people's representatives.
Now, I think this July coming up, the law that was passed in Vermont goes into effect. And they hate that. They hate letting the public know. Do they hate letting the public know about the dangers of vaccines also?
So much information and so much government support, government requirements with regard to vaccines. So the state of California absolutely requiring vaccinations for children going into school. No exceptions, no situations where you could have an exemption.
And the fact that there are so many consumers now that have become aware of this issue about GMOs, they say here that Whole Foods has pledged that all foods in their store will have to be labeled by 2018. Now, I've got a better idea for them. Forget about labeling. How about not having any product in your store that is genetically modified? Forget the labels. Just don't have it in the store.
Well, I heard about a different mode of labeling that could be a little bit deceptive. There is the GMO product, and it's a little round blue seal that assures people buying that processed food that the ingredients are not genetically modified. And then there's another one that's showing up on the shelves, and it's called GMO-free, but there isn't necessarily any agency that is establishing the criteria for using that label, GMO-free.
Have you heard of a food retailer called Natural Grocer?
Well, Natural Grocer is kind of a marketing arm. And there are different products from supplements to foods that are part of that group.
Well, they say their natural food retailers such as Natural Grocer have announced that they are removing GMO and GMO-derived foods from their stores, period. So this is a real dilemma for the politicians. You don't have to have labeling. Just have stores that say we're not accepting anything that's has any GMO contaminant in there.
As they have done in Russia, in the EU, in China, they're not accepting GMO foods.
So here's how the politicians are caught in the middle. So the question is, how can they continue to serve their major paymasters, in other words, their donors and lobbyists like corporate agribusiness, genetic engineering companies, big food, junk food brands, big pharma, who supply the drugs for GMO-dependent factory farms without antagonizing millions of consumers and voters in an election year? Now, the question is, we are still being kept in the dark on a lot of these things. You know, we know, okay, these foods, but what about, we mentioned the pharmaceuticals. How many supplements are contaminated with GMOs, right? That's also a possibility.
That is a possibility. It's very interesting, though, because I was explaining to one of my clients just yesterday about the concept, because this question came up. How do you know that there's any quality out there? And I said the quality manufacturers quarantine their raw materials, so they're not allowed into the manufacturing facility for a given number of months before and while they are being quarantined. There are many different types of testing conducted on that raw material to assure that the active component is present in the amount that is stated, that there are no chemicals, no additives, no emulsifiers, additional ingredients that shouldn't be there.
Now, you know, we're trying to figure out why, despite all the money spent on healthcare, We haven't changed the causes of death, heart disease being one, cancer being two, stroke being three. Over 80 years now, those have been the causes of death. I mean, some people might say, well, yeah, they're the causes of death, but it's happening later in life. I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, I have kind of an area to introduce into the discussion, Dr. Slavin. It's something that I've been thinking about. We know that diabetes is in the realm of epidemic. We know that elevated insulin levels, epidemic levels, okay? And the other thing that I see over and over and over and over and over again is gastroesophageal reflux disease, indigestion, heartburn, bad taste in people's mouths. And I'm wondering if that might be the little signal from the body that blood sugar and insulin are out of range and something is developing. So instead of giving people antacid products, what about addressing what might be the underlying cause for that particular symptom?
Well, that's part of it. Where, you know, stop treating. It's okay to treat symptoms, but at the same time, you have to look for the underlying cause and correct that. That's what's not being done. But we're trying to look for that underlying cause. In some cases, like with high blood pressure, excess sugar consumption, maybe magnesium deficiencies, you know, they go together. You know, if you're eating excess sugar, it means you're not eating healthy foods to begin with. But there's another, I think, component to why we're not seeing people remain as healthy as they could be is the advent or the introduction of vaccines. You know, 80 years ago, they weren't using vaccines like they do today.
That's true.
Back in the year 1900, the number one cause of death was pneumonia and influenza. Now, I want to talk about influenza in a second. Tuberculosis was two. We don't have a vaccine for tuberculosis. You had diarrhea, enteritis. You don't have vaccines for that. Then number four was heart disease. The point is, people, we shifted those causes of death because of better sanitation, better nutrition, not because of vaccines, yet they keep promoting vaccines. I don't see on that list any disease, by the way, that we have vaccines for. Isn't that interesting? We gotta have these vaccines, but we don't have, you know, it wasn't a major cause of death. Yeah, you have to have these vaccines now.
Okay, I'm going to be devil's advocate and say, okay, if you prevent measles, mumps, chickenpox, those so-called childhood diseases, then you won't have the weaker of the individuals dealing with that infectious disease succumb to pneumonia and ultimately die because of complications from the disease. So I'm going to say that's the answer from the vaccine manufacturer, I think.
So are you a proponent of the vaccine manufacturer or?
I'm just making the discussion a discussion.
So the vaccines, well, the truth is the vaccines are not lowering the incidence of these illnesses. It's, you know, better nutrition. And in fact, and this is anecdotal, you know, I hear it from parents who do not give their kids vaccines. Their kids are never sick from school, where all the kids getting vaccinated are sick. And the kids that got vaccinated for the measles when they had that outbreak got the measles again because the vaccines apparently don't work. When we come back, a little more about the flu, though.
Okay, very important topic. And because we haven't been seeing flu in the headlines this season. Right. We're watching out for those mosquitoes. That music means it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned. More to come.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332 or amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health but want to do it from the comfort of your home? Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via phone, Skype, or email with the convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at janetcimarelli.com and tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. right here on this station.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and we're talking about how to take good care of yourself on Natural Doc Radio.
And we're trying to figure out why we're not making a dent in the causes of death. It's still heart disease, cancer, and stroke for the last 80 years, despite everything we do to keep people, at least all the drugs we give people to presumably keep them healthy. So we said, well, maybe, 22 years ago, genetically modified foods have been introduced. I don't think that's helping people to be healthier. And the other issue is vaccines, but I want to give you, pass along something about the flu vaccine. Because every year they tell you there's going to be 36,000 deaths from the flu, despite the fact there's no real evidence that that's actually the case. Every year before the flu season, 36,000 people are going to die, and then you never hear about the real numbers. But the National Vital Statistics System estimates the number of yearly flu deaths in the U.S. to be around 500. And even that number may be too high, according to the American Journal of Public Health and the British Medical Journal. Many of the deaths attributed to the flu may actually be due to other causes, like the rhinovirus. That's just another virus, not the flu virus, the rhinovirus. So if you get a vaccine against the flu, maybe it's protecting you against that virus. Maybe, maybe not, because they say 50% if you, on a good day. But it doesn't protect you against anything else. And it gives people a false sense of security, because what you really have to do is maintain a healthy immune system so your body can react to exposure to any virus when it comes up. So that,
wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands.
So only about 15 to 20% of people who come down with flu-like symptoms actually have the flu virus. The other 80 to 85% may actually have the rhinovirus or other germs that are indistinguishable from the true flu without any laboratory tests. So I think a lot of people say, well, I have the flu, but they don't really know. They have flu symptoms or flu-like symptoms, but who knows what they actually have. So the question is, then, why does the Center for Disease Control lie about the numbers? Well, I think they're probably motivated to some extent from vaccine manufacturers, because they have to get people motivated to go get a flu vaccine.
How do you motivate people? Frighten them.
So they go on to say here, the Center for Disease Control unabashedly decided to create a mass market for the flu vaccine by enlisting the media into panicking the public. An obedient and unquestioning media obliged by hyping the numbers, and 10 years later, it is obliging still. So we're being misled again, apparently.
Okay, and why is the media so obliging? Okay, as you say, Dr. Slavin, follow the money. And what is the economic section that provides great numbers of advertising dollars to all media, chemical, pharmaceutical companies?
Well, the global flu vaccine industry is worth $3.6 billion, and the U.S. is the largest and most profitable market for flu shots. So I think that's one thing, and by most estimates regarding the effectiveness of the vaccine, they're even lower than you would have imagined. The best estimates are that for healthy adults between the ages of 18 and 64, the efficacy rate is only 60% of the 2.7% of people who would have gotten the flu. For the elderly, efficacy rates are even lower, from 17 to 53%, studies have shown. So the flu shot really is not that effective choice for people, yet they keep promoting it. And then you have reactions to the flu, and the serious ones could be convulsions, paralysis, brain inflammation. We talked about having a guest on the show who experienced Guillain-Barré from the flu vaccine. So in reality, if you were to contract the flu virus, you'll have a few days of discomfort, and then you will fully recover. Why run the risk of having an adverse reaction to a vaccine that is not only unnecessary, but also quite possibly ineffective to begin with?
Okay. A few days of the flu, and then you will recover. A few days of true misery.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dr. Slavin, do you have any suggestions for relieving that misery, the body aches, possibly the fever? Okay. So I'm going to answer my own question, and then you can answer. Hydrate, lots and lots of tea, things like chamomile tea, chicken soup with lots of garlic and onions.
And I don't disagree with that, but where I place the emphasis is on preventing the flu. You know, I mean, there's no reason why you have to get the flu. I'll give you an example with polio.
Right.
When my father was growing up, and he had, you know, several brothers and a sister, he and my uncle slept in the same bed. They're little kids. My uncle got polio. My father didn't. How come? Okay, the same thing now with the flu. Not everybody exposed to the flu comes down with it, but the people who weaken their immune system are more susceptible.
It's very interesting because I have a whole array of immune-supporting things that I do when I've been exposed to someone who's ill. And that includes vitamin A and D, emphasis on D. It includes garlic. It includes certain kinds of echinacea, golden seal, osha. There are a lot of different herbs that I use. And there's no question that I'm able to minimize the significance of the exposure when I get sick. For some reason, this year, I became ill twice with some kind of virus. It only lasted a couple of days, but all of my usual tricks didn't work. And so sometimes I think we are dealing with an unusual strain that our immune system possibly hasn't been primed for. It was a very interesting experience for me to actually get sick because I know what to do.
You know, the thought came to mind when was it last week or the week before? They were, you know, Zika virus was right on the news. Now you don't hear about it anymore.
Well, there's too many people got onto them that it was the chemicals sprayed to eradicate the mosquitoes that were making people sick.
Right. But then I thought about that, and here they're rushing to bring a vaccine to the market on the Zika virus. And then I thought to myself, how come they haven't brought a vaccine against AIDS to the market? Could it be that they're making more money selling the antiviral drugs to treat AIDS? That why bring a vaccine when you're making so much money with the drugs?
Well, one of the things that I've always said about HIV and AIDS is lifestyle, reduce your stress, do everything you can to support your immune system.
Well, that's true about anything.
It's true about anything, but it's mostly true about HIV, that when your immune system gets so depleted, very, very important that you use every tool at your disposal. And from the very beginning, I've said this is not a fatal disease. You don't have to be the victim here. You are in charge. You support your immune system, and you will survive. Will you always have a potential weakness? Yes, indeed.
But why didn't they come out with a virus? I mean, a vaccine. Now, that's an interesting question that
that's
I don't know the answer to.
That's a way interesting question.
You know,
wow.
How come that doesn't require a vaccine, but Zika does? You know, because I think they've got Zika. Everybody's afraid to get Zika, so you can convince everybody to get a vaccine. But AIDS, people can prevent exposure to that virus. I don't know the answer.
Operative word here, everybody's afraid. Okay, you're manipulating the population through fear. And I heard a little bit of a warning that we were out of time. And I just want to let everybody know that on Thursday from 12 to 2, I will be at Hallandale Beach Boulevard Locatel answering your questions and with lots of samples from Janet's best products, Janet Juice, Janet Lip Balm, Janajest, Janabiotic, all those good things. And that's Locatel at Hallandale Beach Boulevard on Thursday from 12 to 2. And tomorrow we will be back with more information here on Natural Doc Radio, information to keep you healthy and live long. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.